Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
We got a great program. We're going to talk about some products that brokers are trying to pitch you.
We're going to talk to Dr. Steiner about retirement and how to do it right.
Our third segment, we're going to have money as a tool designed to help you accomplish what is important to you in your life.
And then our last segment, we're going to talk to a new grandmother. She's going to share with us her dreams of a college education for the granddaughter.
And how to pay for it. Stick around.
Answering your top financial questions with a little humor and a lot of fun. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you're here with us on this weekend day. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both our financial advisors, spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. So whether you have advisors you work with now, or you're just doing things on your own, or you're just getting started, or whatever the case may be, I'm glad you are here with us at Hanson McLean. And
yeah, thanks for being here.
We're going to have a fun show.
Chock full of information. Chock full.
Whatever does that mean? What is chock full?
I don't know what the genesis of the name chock full.
Because you tend to know things like that.
I'm going to look it up. Yeah.
Pat has this statistics on these bizarre things.
But I find like the history of sayings that are part of our everyday vocabulary.
Like he's worth his grain in salt.
Like worth his grain in salt. It comes from the word salary. Salt comes from the word salary. And he's not worth a grain of salt, which means it's not worth.
Salary comes from salt, you mean.
The word salary comes from the word salt.
Yes, not the other way around.
Did I say it the other way around?
I interpreted it the other way around, whether you stated that or not.
Well, I apologize.
That was what I heard.
So, but that's not what the show's about. The show's a finance show where people call us and ask us long, detailed questions regarding their finances or simple, short ones.
And we talk about things that we think are important to you. And
if you'd like to join the show, you can visit it as 888. 888-2-HANSON.
888-2-HANSON.
242-6766. And you can go to our website, moneymatters.com.
Yes. So, I saw an article the other day. We've talked about this over... We've been broadcasting this program for over 20 years.
We might be new to you.
We're not new at this business. Real estate investment trust. Great way to be a passive investor in real estate. You can buy real estate investment trusts just like any other publicly traded security, right? You can go and
you can buy
in an order on your brokerage account or through an advisor and buy an open-ended mutual fund that invests in them, or an ETF that invests in them, or just pick out a company in and of itself, just like you every other type of company. But there are also closed-end real estate investment trusts or privately non-traded real estate investment trusts that have been very common, particularly in the smaller broker-dealer community. What I mean by that, not really the... You didn't see them so much from...
The big firms.
But you saw them like kind of the second-tier firms.
Or third, or fifth, or seventh.
Okay.
The lower down the feeding rank of the firms, the greater they were used.
And if you've listened to this program for a number of years, you know that we've been... we've hated...
Adamantly opposed.
Non-traded REITs because of the high costs, because of the lack of transparency, the lack of liquidity, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in the past, it used to be that when you'd buy a real estate investment trust, a non-traded one, a REIT, the brokerage commissions were huge. Sometimes you'd see 7% or more.
12, as much as 12.
Plus, there are other startup costs. So, yeah, easily 15% of your money would go to pay for startup costs, and only 85% would actually get invested. But when you saw a statement, it didn't reflect that value because some games that the sponsors would have, and it would make it look like the thing was nice and steady in price.
And the regulators allowed it.
The regulators allowed it until recently. So there was just a change that went into effect this year, last few months, that stated that the sponsors of real estate investment trust must give a current price, a realistic price of the investment. What that means is if somebody invested $100,000 and there is 15% that would go to commissions and startup costs, the value of that investment would be $85,000.
So
immediate decline in
value. It would reflect the fat in the food chain.
On the next statement or on the online access.
So as you can imagine, We were delighted about this. Why? Because we think transparency in your investments is important.
Absolutely.
We think that high commission products that pay someone for selling you garbage should not be allowed, especially when the alternative was traded real estate investment trust that you could buy for pennies.
Like, why would you?
And historically, the rates of return have doubled in the traded yes. REITs versus the non-traded
much,
REITs.
Yeah, much higher rate of returns.
So
I saw an article a couple weeks ago. The sales volume of these real estate investment trusts,
now that there's disclosure,
have declined by more than 70% this year.
In a matter of weeks.
70%.
So here's what.
So what it tells me is
it
that
had these, nothing to do with the investment. It had to do with the
commissions. And the fact that the brokers could hide the commissions. They were hidden commissions.
So
they were like the old B-share mutual funds or high-cost annuities. Or universal or whole life insurance, high commissions.
If you own one of these,
we're sorry,
and fire the broker you're working with, because you shouldn't own one of these. You should not own one of these.
I see. Now, I can't ever imagine a time where it makes sense to buy a non-traded real estate investment trust that is distributed through a broker-dealer community. I cannot ever imagine a time when that would make wise investments. I can't say there's a lot other things I don't. Annuities? Yes, there are times when annuities make sense.
Rare.
Whole life insurance? Yes, there are times when whole life insurance makes sense. Non-traded real estate investment trust?
Never.
So seriously, as you said, Pat, if you are working with your broker,
fire
he's acting
them.
As a broker, not an advisor, frankly.
And you own one of these pieces of garbage, trash, fire the broker. Just say, you're fired. It's easy.
You're fired, just like the Republican
Trump.
Nominee. You're
just
fired.
Like Donald Trump on yes. The Apprentice.
Maybe the next president, you're fired.
Yeah, you're fired.
Yeah.
Go in there, you're fired. And then flip your hair when you say it.
What hair?
No, like Donald Trump would. You're fired.
Oh, that thing twisting all over the place. I don't know where it starts and ends, actually.
Well, I don't. Let's not get into this.
And every time I see him, I look. First of all, how'd you get orange? He looks like Boehner. He and Boehner.
I don't know.
Boehner is orange, too. What happened to him? He's out to pasture.
I don't know.
I don't know why these politicians become orange. They're in the sun tanning booth too much.
I don't know how it works.
I don't care what you feel about Trump, like him or not like him. I don't understand the color of his face or the fact that his hair, I don't know where it starts or ends. It just continues. One big swirl. It is.
He's
you
like,
might admit that.
He's like Mr. Softy.
Who's Mr. Softy?
Yeah, those trucks that drive around New York City where they have the Softy cone on there.
That's where he got the idea. When he was a young man, it was starting to fall out. He saw that, yeah.
He's a franchise of Mr. Softy.
He saw the cones, and if his okay, chocolate dip, he could diet.
Enough. Okay.
So, anyway, REITs, there are times when annuities can make sense. These are
very rarely.
These are some of the products that we see pitched by people that call themselves financial advisors. They're not advisors. They're acting as commission paid brokers.
So let's talk a little bit about annuities.
Because that's always an exciting topic.
No. Scott, look here's who's a big distributor of annuities? Banks. Banks are.
Yeah, they are.
Financial professionals in the banks. So you go up to the teller and
that's
you say,
right.
I have $100,000 in this bank CD and
terrible.
It's going to earn 0.5%. Give me a choice. And then they push you over to a young, nice young lady or man sitting in the corner of the bank.
Dress
and
nicely.
They say, oh, you want a higher rate of return? Let me tell you about this annuity. Problems with the annuity is liquidity.
Typically, your money's locked up for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years.
The other problem with the annuities are the ability to actually understand if the interest rate is fixed and if it is fixed for how long and what's the guaranteed minimum on that. So understand why they're recommending the annuity and if it is appropriate for you. Most cases,
they're not.
Most cases, they are not.
They're expensive. Although they say there are no fees.
They are expensive.
That's like the bank saying, well, there's no fees on our CD. Technically, that's true.
Yeah.
There's still costs. And the bank that has the lowest cost structure would be able to offer the highest rates of return.
So they're
right. So yeah. The insurance company that has the lowest cost structure would have the higher rates annuities. And the ones that have the highest cost structure would have the lowest rates on their annuities, all things being equal.
So annuities, careful.
There are some times when they can make sense. If you have no pension, you have little or none in Social Security, perhaps a portion in annuity in the right kind of annuity.
Maybe. If you understand
a single life annuity,
how they work and what your objectives are.
The equity index annuities are mostly garbage, in our opinion.
Hard to understand.
Very expensive.
Participation rates are difficult to understand and will limit. And especially, they don't participate in the dividends of the S&P 500, which most do not.
They don't participate in lots of stuff. They cap it at certain percentages. Yeah. It's all smoke and mirrors. Yeah. It's like follow the ball, watching
the guys
cup moving around.
Yeah. That's the show game.
Yeah, you can't figure it out. Yeah. Some of these annuity contracts, I've read them. I can't figure them out. I've got a degree in finance. I'm a chartered financial consultant, certified financial planner. I've been doing this 20-some-odd years. I have trouble understanding how some of these contracts work.
You have to actually graph them out to understand it.
Yeah, so
sometimes it's just okay leaving your money in the bank. Sometimes you're just not going to be happy with the rate of return you're getting in the bank.
As a matter of fact, if you look at... this isn't the first time we've been in a negative interest rate environment, if you look at real rate of return, because inflation is so low right now.
Yeah, we're pretty close to negative.
Yeah, but it just doesn't feel good. We totally get it. But before you buy an annuity, someone's trying to pitch you one. We've got a great webinar. If you go to our website, moneymatters.com, the title of the webinar is Why Everyone Wants to Sell You an Annuity and We Don't. Why Everyone Wants to Sell You an Annuity and We Don't. It's at our website.
It's you and I did this one together, I think.
We did.
Yeah.
It's really entertaining.
Oh, it's incredible.
You're not going to...
Wake the kids. Call the neighbors. You're never going to see anything like this.
there's not much to... Anyway, it'll help educate
you. It's about 7-8 minutes long. It's not long.
Are there times when annuities are appropriate? Yes, they're a completely minority of the time. But before you buy one... You definitely want to understand what it's all. It's a 20-minute. Like,
20. You said 20 minutes.
What did I just say?
I said 7 or 8.
It's 20 minutes. 20 minutes of some of the most entertaining moments of your life, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I'm just saying.
It's a wise investment of your time.
The word Oscar has been bandied around the office.
It's that good.
The word Oscar. My wife's out picking out dresses right now.
Gowns.
Gowns.
All right. We're taking a quick break. This is Hanson McLean, Money Matters. Stick around for more. This is Hanson McLean.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. To one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's interesting? We've noticed, we've been helping people transition to retirement for the last 20-plus years, and it seems that the whole concept of retirement is changing. People aren't looking for the same retirement that they were 20, 25 years ago. And things are different. So we've got a great guest on the program today who is an expert in this area and is an author, Dr. Rick Steiner, author of the book Retirement Different by Design. And so Dr. Steiner's joining us today. Dr. Steiner, thanks for being part of Hanson McLean.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. So you're the author of this book. Are you retired yourself, it's my understanding, or...
How
long have you been retired?
Well, this is I'm not counting, but it's my 6th year.
And did you write this book prior to retirement or after retirement?
After.
Okay, so the reason we're having you, I guess, not only the author of the book, but you also have a PhD in mass communications research and social psychology, right? So...
Right.
This is kind of your field, trying to understand things. So when you retired, what was your career like before you retired then?
Well, I was a vice provost for the State University of New York system. And I traveled the world on behalf of the U.S. government because one of the things I did was I competed for grants, and the universities all compete to get these large government grants, and I happened to win a good number of them. And I had a very interesting and somewhat exciting life. But the world changes. And ultimately, when you're in a job for a very long time and there's a big shift, you know, universities are fairly political. And when one political party gets in, you know, they want to do what they want to do. So then it gets a little cranky and dicey because there are issues that you have to, you know, confront, and either you stay or you go. So I went.
You went 5 years ago. And what did you find?
What was the best part of retiring? What was the worst part of retiring? If you were to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
You know, what would I do differently? I did some of the smart stuff. You know, I had a hobby. I had hobbies that I've been doing for our whole lives. My wife and I, we sail. We've been sailing together for 27 years.
Nice.
And it's a good thing to do together.
The one time I sailed, by the way, I took the family out in Costa Rica, and I almost got us lost out in sea. But that's a whole other story.
Did you really?
That's another story. Well, go ahead.
After this, I want to hear that story.
Oh,
after.
I was really nervous.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Me too. So when I announced to my wife I'm retiring, she said, "Well, then I'm going to retire." I said, "But you can't, because I've been reading that you shouldn't retire the same time with your spouse."
And I'm retiring, so sorry, honey.
Right. So she said, "Well, they're offering an incentive to teachers." She was a public school teacher. "And I can get 3 years additional added to my retirement, and I'll be making more than if I stayed for those 3 years."
So she retired. So what was
the
best thing, though? I mean, so you did the hobbies, right?
Yeah.
What else kept you occupied? Was it what you expected? Obviously, something inside of you caused you to write this book after you retired. By the way, which means you weren't really retired because you were working in retirement by writing this book. But we'll go with the premise that you retired.
Right.
What caused you to write this book? Something triggered and you said, "Hey, I think I'm seeing something here that other people want to read."
No, that's not what happened. What happened was, I got a call from a headhunter saying they want me to put my name in for a job at a major university.
Okay.
And stupid me said, "Okay." So you do that, and then all of a sudden you have to send this in, send that in. Could you answer this question and that question and the interviews? And I'm going, I said to myself, "What the hell am I doing? Why do I need this stuff anymore?" So I said, "I got to understand why I can't just be at home and enjoy myself." Because I'm a social psychologist. I said, "I got to understand what's going on with me, going on with a lot of people."
Okay.
So I started delving into why some people succeed and why they don't, and what's the good stuff about retirement, what's the bad stuff about retirement. And I uncovered a lot of interesting facts. One of them is boredom can kill you. That I knew, because when you're bored, what do?
Yeah.
You eat. You drink. You get into bad habits, and you typically, some of us have enough money to pursue those bad habits.
Yeah, idle hands are the devil's playground.
Right. So if you don't have a purpose or a mission in life, you tend to kind of collapse inside yourself. And I said, I can't do that. So one of the things I did, which was in a way a good thing, is I'm a skier, and I went to a local mountain, and I said, "Here I am, I'd like to teach." And they said, "You're hired," in the summer. They didn't even see me ski. So for the last 6 years, I have been a full-time professional ski instructor.
Oh, nice.
And I make $11 an hour.
That's perfect.
Perfect, yeah. You know, it doesn't even cost.
So, it's interesting. So, obviously, you have a nice pension from the university system. Your wife has a pension from being a teacher.
Yep, right.
And so, because here's what I find. So, I talk to some retirees, clients, typically, And I'll ask them about some things, and they don't want to commit to, like, this. You've got a job, you got to be there. If you say you're going to be there on Saturday, you got to show up.
Yeah,
right?
And they don't
you've
care.
Got a commitment.
They don't care if you were used to making $80 an hour. They only pay $11, and you signed up for it.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
So how did you get, is that ever a struggle for you?
Where you said, I've got to commit. Because that's what, we have clients.
My own father,
I said, why don't you work at this charity? Well, they want me to sign up for every Tuesday and Thursday. So what's wrong with that? I don't want to make the commitment, right? I don't want to make the commitment. So was that a struggle to make the commitment?
Not at that point, because what my wife did was she followed me. Okay? So she became an ambassador. So I worked 5 or 6 days a week, and she worked 2 days a week, which was all fine with me because we could travel together. But what happened, look, you have to stay active. If you're given the option of going to the gym every day, how many of us will really do it? But if you have a job, you go there because that's what people of my generation do. I get up earlier now than I've ever gotten up to go to a job.
Well, you were a college professor though, so come on.
No. I was an administrator. I was the dreaded administrator.
Okay. I'm giving you a hard time.
I had to be there. And I was beaten around the head, periodically by the faculty and by the,
So what would make a bad retirement? Would it be just not doing anything? Is that what? And who were you hoping to reach in your book? Were you hoping to reach?
Or is it just you? Or is doing the research for yourself?
Yeah. Were you hoping to reach younger people thinking about retirement or someone in retirement? Or were you just thinking about yourself?
No, I just wanted to use my skill set. I wanted to, figure something. The reason I was successful in winning these kinds of grants is I wanted to figure out how to make things work. So I say to myself, how do I make this work for me and for other people? And so when I got to the mountain, you get hired in September, you get to the mountain, who did I see? Everybody looked like me. In fact, when I joined it, I was at 66. Believe it or not, I was one of the younger full-time instructors.
Really?
Yeah, we had people in their 80s.
Oh.
One person worked at a major university as he was a hockey coach. You see, I had people surrounding me that looked like me, that we had common interests with, and we protected each other. In other words, we skied together, we worked together, we complained together, we laughed together. I had my social
community
group around me again.
Part of a tribe.
That's nice.
Every day for 4 months. So the money is irrelevant to me and everybody else. It's that fact that we are active and engaged, and we meet nice people.
And what a great group of employees. I can't even imagine. At $11 an hour, bunch of retired professionals. I'm rethinking our structure.
So based on your research, Dr. Steiner, and as far as having being a social psychologist, do you think work is necessary in retirement?
No, purpose. You have to have a life purpose. You can't just float along, because a life without purpose is basically a life without meaning. And, what do you do? How much free time do you need? If you don't exercise your brain and your body, everything kind of collapses around itself.
Excellent point.
That's why I write, and that's why I work.
Excellent point. So we did really enjoy your book. We enjoyed having you on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
And the name of Dr. Steiner's book is Retirement, Different by Design. And you can buy this on Amazon. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Rick Steiner. Appreciate it. And I'm sure our listeners appreciate that life without purpose is not one worth living. Anyway, this is Hanson McLean. We'll be right back.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call.
That's
at 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.
Taking the financially complex and making it simple, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
All right. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Thanks for sticking with us. Glad you were. We had the last segment talking about having purpose in retirement.
Dr. Steiner, and you mentioned in the, Dr. Steiner mentioned that he was a sailor, and you had mentioned during that little segment that you brought the family sailing in Costa Rica.
I didn't bring them. So I was in, I know nothing about sailing. It's one of, actually, it's one of those things that I see people sailing sometimes out in the bay.
You wouldn't do well at it. You wouldn't do well at it. It's not, there's, it's.
What are you talking about?
You wouldn't do well at it.
No, I really want to do it. What do you mean I wouldn't do well at it?
It's not, you're not climbing a wall or chasing something or running. You sit on a boat and you pull ropes.
Yeah, but you got to be, I look, it looks fun. Like.
All right, you could do it.
All right.
So tell us about
I guess there's a reason I haven't taken a sailing class at this point.
Yeah.
Being 50 years old and not bothering. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm at this like all-inclusive resort with my kid, with my family. This was probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. My kids were little. And they have these little, like kind of a Hobie cat, but like, I sound like an idiot right now. It's not a catamaran. There's a one in the middle, too.
Tri-hull.
Tri-hull. Thank you, Pat.
I've sailed some.
Okay. So I said to the guy, I said, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing here. So can you give me some lessons so I can take this thing out? He says, oh, no. He says, if you don't know how to sail it, we can't let you use it. And I said,
oh, yeah?
I said, oh, no, I know how to sail. It's just been a while. I'm fine. Yeah, it's fine. So I tell my wife and kids, hop on in, kids, you know. So we get in this thing.
No.
Oh, yeah. So we start going
in the ocean.
We're in the ocean.
There's a
lake. Currents.
Lake, normally you'd get to the other side at some point.
Actually, it was a big bay.
Okay.
But there's currents. And I'm thinking, okay, it's probably time I should turn around and head back in. I can't figure out how to turn the thing around.
Oh, yeah. Difficult.
I couldn't get it turned around. And
they keep sailing out.
There was about 5 minutes there where I was really pretty nervous.
Did you pull the sail down?
Didn't think of that one.
It's like turning off the engine.
But there's currents, though,
mm-hmm.
that could have taken me out to... There was a current in the bay we were in.
Uh-huh.
Could have taken us out to sea.
Probably has something to do with the tide.
I understand how those things happen. But I'm sitting there thinking... I can't get this thing turned around.
So what'd you do?
I finally figured out how to get it turned around.
Did you tell your wife?
Not until we were done. Then I told her.
And what'd she say?
I don't know. She's...
Because I don't know. I don't know much about... Is it Puerto Rico or Costa Rica? Where were you?
Costa Rica. They're two different places, Pat.
So
Puerto Rico, just to let you know, it's like a territory of the United States. Not good enough to be a state, but yet still subject to all of our laws.
Well, I'm glad you made it back okay.
Costa Rica is a completely independent country in Latin America.
Thank you.
That has no army and somehow manages to maintain peace.
Anyway, well, thanks for sharing that.
Yes. I figured you would enjoy that little story.
I'm going to Costa Rica with my family.
You are?
Yeah, vacation this summer. I'll let you know how it goes. I'm not going to go sailing, though.
Don't
after that
go
story.
Sailing. It's actually, by the way, Costa Rica is a fantastic place to bring kids. It's kind of like Hawaii, but it's not as expensive.
Okay.
And there's tons of wildlife. Monkeys.
I do know how to sail, though. I used to windsurf when I was in my youth.
You did?
That all stopped when I got married.
All right, that's good. So, you know, if you've noticed, we've, the last few weeks, we've had some guests on the program, which we will continue to do. And part of it is what we've noticed as financial advisors, we're doing this 20 some odd years, clients come to us because they have, usually it's a financial situation they're dealing with. How do I?
And sometimes they're in transition or they're unhappy with their current advisors.
Can I afford to retire?
Number one question.
How much money can I expect to receive based upon my nest egg? How long will this last me? Am I taking too much risk? Actually, they don't ask that question enough, but they should.
They normally ask about returns without quantifying risk.
So, and we've had clients, I mean, I think of some clients that I've personally worked with since 1991, still clients of the firm today. So long-term clients. And what I've noticed, as you first go on, you're dealing mostly with the financial issues. But then as time goes on, you start to get to know people pretty well. And we understand it's not easy having a financial advisor and discussing your personal finances.
It starts by personal finances, but you don't share
your income with many people.
Yeah, you don't share your
tax return with many people. So it's a very private type thing. So once it tends to have deep relationships people have with their, at least for good financial advisors, and we have deep relationships with many of our clients. And as time got on, we ended up spending more time on talking about, okay, well, you've got the financial assets to retire. So now what?
Yeah, what's it look like?
It was actually pretty interesting, that our last guest here, he probably has a very comfortable retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Administrator from a
university.
University, wife's school teacher. He's making $11 an hour and shows up for work every day during the winter to do so, because that's where he finds some joy and satisfaction and purpose. But we find that we spend quite a bit of time with clients. And even at retirement time, when someone comes in, they want to see if they have enough money to retire, we will often spend time talking about what's retirement really going to look like for you. And just because you have the finances, does that make sense? Matter of fact, there's a recent study showed that the more wealthy somebody is and the more educated they are, the greater the likelihood they will continue to work during retirement.
That makes sense.
Right? So get the more wealthy and the more educated, the more likely they are to work during retirement.
That makes sense. Because they probably liked what they were doing, which is they were probably pretty good at it. And they probably got good at it because they got educated. And if you like something, it's not about the money at some point in time. It's about doing the act.
I guess so.
Right?
Makes sense. It does seem counterintuitive.
It sounds counterintuitive. Yeah. But if people...
You remember in the 90s? In the 90s,
everyone was going to... It was all about retire
as young as you can.
But now it's not. Now it's, how do I stay engaged for as long as I possibly can? Be it in a job or in some sort of advocation or vocation.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are going to live 30 years during retirement. That's a long time.
Yeah. So one of the exercises that you do for yourself is, you're retired. What's your life like 6 months after you retire? Not the first 6 months, because the first 6 months, you'll go and you'll do all those things on your bucket list that you've been meaning to do, paint the house or do whatever you do, right? You know, go visit this place and that place. But it's 6 months after, when the newness wears off, when it's no longer, you know, you get up in the morning and think, I don't have to go to work. You get up in the morning and you think, what am I going to do today?
Yeah.
That's when you want to go through that little exercise.
To think about. Essentially, I was reading an article on, some college-age kids now take this gap year between high school and college. It's probably if you come from a wealthy enough family that you don't.
You take it between high school and college, gap year.
What did I just say?
That's what you said.
Okay, yeah, a gap year. So there's a golden gap year. It's actually, that's something that we see a lot of retirees in United Kingdom do, in England. This is what, and it's essentially, it's their first year in retirement that they pretty much just try to plan the most amazing year with as much travel and kind of really try to get a lot of this stuff out of their system. Because, you know, a lot of people have this idea that...
Well, then it's all downhill from there.
Well, not really. Maybe you don't need it anymore.
Oh, maybe you just got it out of the way?
I think of some clients that lived in motorhomes full time.
Oh, for a while?
For a season.
Yeah, for a while. I've had a couple that have done it for multiple years, but that's rare. That's rare.
But the golden gap year.
My wife's been talking about a motorhome. I said, with me?
You should buy one. Then I could use it sometimes.
And that's what she said.
I saw a small used one, actually, and I was going to pull over, and I was with my wife. It was one of those little Mercedes. It was like a six-year-old one. I thought it's a perfect time to buy it. It's small, but not too much, and
I went and looked at him.
He wouldn't let me pull over and look at him. So, you
know. So this gap year.
Yes, I'm not doing that.
The gap year.
Golden gap year.
So the idea is that they can travel and then settle into retirement after that.
It's a big travel year before they settle into retirement.
So, you know, we have a lot of articles on our website, moneymatters.com, that actually address this whole kind of psychology behind retirement. And it's not easy. You've got to actually really think about it. And we, our weekly email that we send out, which you can sign up for on moneymatters.com, normally once every 2 weeks, we try to address some of the psychological, either an article we've written or that we've procured from someone else that kind of tries to address the psychology behind retirement, because we see people who do it beautifully.
Yep.
Clients that have done it perfectly, that are satisfied. And it has something to do with the money, but it's not 100% the money.
You know, money is just a tool.
And it normally makes someone what more of what they already are. That's what money does.
Yes, certainly. But it's a tool. And if it's used right, it can help you accomplish those things that are important to you in your lifetime. And if your only objective is to accumulate as much money as possible and you don't think about what's the purpose of the money, what's the money, why are you doing this, then then what's the point?
And we see people that have done terrible at retirement, and it really has more to do with staying busy.
Staying engaged.
Engaged and being healthy.
Serving somebody else. It's really, I think, a lot about serving. How do you continue to serve someone else?
Yeah. So those articles are on moneymatters.com.
Anyway, if you'd like to join the program with a question regarding anything in the financial realm or retirement realm for that matter, you can join us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N, 888-242-6766. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We'll be right back.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. You are back with Hanson McLean's Money Matters, Scott Hanson and McLean. Pat McLean. We have these, what are these tablets called? They're tablets.
Garbage.
Microsoft Surface. These are the ones like the NFL has too? Which is, you know, just like the NFL here with Microsoft Surface.
Except neither one of us has ever played a sport. I couldn't catch a cold.
You never played in sports growing up?
I played a little baseball. Right. What'd you play?
I didn't play much football. I was tiny.
Yeah.
And I wasn't very good either. I couldn't catch or throw, and I was small. So I couldn't block. I couldn't do anything. So I didn't.
You had plenty of time to develop a complex.
Yes. I'm still bitter, too.
You had plenty of time to focus on.
But anyway, Pat couldn't. You were like, I don't know how many times you're trying to touch the thing to
get it to work. So if you'd like to join the show, 888-242-6766. That's 888. To Hanson, or you can go to moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com, and I would encourage you to download our podcast.
There it is. Yep. Sign up for it.
And you can sign up for it, and we will deliver to you weekly. And as with most podcasts, there will be no charge.
So let's go to the phones. Let's go to Auburn, California, talk to Mary Ann. Mary Ann, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello there.
Hello, Mary Ann.
So my husband and I recently became grandparents for the first time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Boy or girl?
A girl.
Yeah, that's great.
But she lives close by, and that makes it even better.
Oh, good.
We're wondering, what is the best way to set aside money, education money, for her? And I'm talking about both college and maybe private school, if that's what our daughter and her husband want to do. But I don't know if it's a 529 or if there's another vehicle that's better.
Well, 529 is for college expenses.
Okay.
So if your primary goal here is to save for college expenses, the 529 is going to be your best bet. If you want to use for, say, a private high school, then an education IRA could actually be more beneficial to you.
But yep. I can't even remember the last time we've opened an education.
Marianne, are you and your husband both still working?
No.
They're both retired. Okay. I don't even remember anything about the educational IRAs. Do you?
Because it's been that long since you've...
Yeah. I can't even...
It could be used for either. There are limits on it. They're not as flexible as the 529, but it can be used for...
So let's talk about college.
Private elementary school.
So there's an answer to the elementary school, but let's talk about college, right? Because that's the furthest away, and that's the one that's going to be the biggest expenses. The 529 plan works great. You know, it's an interesting time in my life. I have two children in college right now, and we're using the 529 plans. We're taking money.
And your kids went to private school.
That's correct. They went to...
How much more expensive is the college than the private tuition?
This is, you know, substantially more money than the... the 529, the monies go in. It grows tax deferred, right? You don't get a deduction. It grows tax deferred. And if it's used for college expenses, it comes out tax free.
And you could always change the beneficiary...
At any time.
And it's out of your estate.
You want to use the automatic rebalance ones. Most states have an automatic rebalance one.
California's plan, they got a great plan called ScholarShare. And ScholarShare, you've got many different options, but they've got an option that's the age-based plan. So
there's an aggressive age-based plan and age-based. And my recommendation would be to use the age-based plan at this point in time.
And so as your grandchild gets older, less of the money is in risky assets and more in conservative assets, so that by the time they are college-bound, it's in conservative assets ready to be used for college expenses.
Are there limits on how much can be put into that?
Yes,
but
they're so high.
150 grand or something like
that. They're really, high.
5 years worth of annual giving. Yes.
I think it's even higher than that. It's in the couple hundred thousand dollars.
I don't know anyone
range.
Has ever maxed it out.
Yeah, I've never seen one maxed. Are you in that situation?
It can't be used. It couldn't be used for if they wanted to. That's only for college.
Well,
correct. College expenses.
And it's, but it's your money. Right, so you could take the money back out of it without them. They don't go to college. You can change the beneficiary.
And actually, it could be trade school as well. It doesn't have to be college, but it can't be for...
It's post high school.
Yes, correct.
Correct. Okay. But the money, if the child decides not to go to college, it's your money. You can take the money out. You pay taxes on it as well as a 10% penalty. Or you just change the beneficiary to someone else. You could change it to your great-grandchildren.
Right. Now, what happens to that money were we to pass away before it gets used?
You'll probably list your daughter as the beneficiary or your son, depending on, as the, to take the account over, still in benefit for your grandchild.
Okay.
And they work great. They work great.
Yep. So I've used them for, I've got my second kid going into college. I've got 529 plans. I set up for them when they were both born and calculated the funding and...
Isn't that funny, though? When I was putting it in, it seemed so far away to taking the money out.
And since it's our asset, it doesn't affect any scholarship.
It has a minimal effect. In the second year, it will have more of an effect, but it's not a substantial effect under the current tax law. We're talking 18 years out.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Right? It's anyone's guess.
What we do know is that it will be different.
Promise you that.
College education is a hot political topic.
And these 529s actually may not be eligible. Who knows, right? You might not, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, who knows whether it will make sense to put the money in, whether it's going to be, college will be free for everyone that wants it. Who knows? We have no way of knowing. But today, they make sense.
All right. Thank you very
much.
Appreciate
the call.
Good luck, Marianne.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time in life. You know, it's funny when you've... And I never thought I'd be looking forward to having grandkids. I'm not quite ready for one yet. But everyone you talk to say it's one of the most rewarding experiences in life.
Yeah, they said the same thing about having kids, though, and look what happened.
I never said that. Now, the 529 plans were great. Matter of fact, with my kids, as they got closer to college, I took less money out of stocks, for example, and I had quite a large portion in money market account.
Yeah, made them conservative.
Yeah, because I know I'm going to have to write checks the next couple of years to these college institutions.
Yeah, actually, on my, as they get closer, you make the portfolios more conservative. And that's what they do naturally in an age-based plan.
Yeah, it works very similar to the target date retirement funds.
Which is...
if you work in a 401k and it says target date 2030...
it means that the closer you get to 2030, the less stocks in that portfolio and the more bonds and cash in that portfolio.
So...
so got, it's easy to do. Easy. To do. What are you looking for?
I've got so many different articles, and we only have a few minutes left. I'm trying to think, what is the most exciting thing to talk about?
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk about this. Can we?
Yes, whatever you want. What is
the name of this article was, is your attitude towards working killing your retirement dream? I actually found some of this a little bit hard to believe, and this comes... Forbes. Well, because maybe it's true, maybe it's not. AARP, this is what, so AARP did a study, it's called Life Reimagined, and it reports that 87% of those surveyed that are working full-time say they want to retire someday. 70% of those,
just about everybody.
70 of those hoping to retire by age 65. And half of them expect to retire after the age of 65. But this is what... that they have this, have you ever heard of this index before? It's called the National Retirement Risk Index.
No.
I've never heard of it either. It estimates 52% of households are at risk of not having enough money to maintain their living standard in retirement. That number just seemed a little shocking to me.
No, 52%?
Yeah.
Half? Don't.
Yeah, it just seemed a little, it seemed a little
high. Well, it's because you don't see them, because the people you see are the ones that are prepared and have some money saved.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? It's a little bit of bias.
Yeah. They're not going to come and see if you don't have money to save or haven't saved. You're not going to actually talk to a guy like me that manages money.
An oncologist kind of thinks everyone's going to get cancer because that's what he
But here's the one most shocking. More than 80% of the workforce over the age of 34 doesn't like their work.
Yeah, I saw that.
80% of the people over age 34, they don't like their work. I feel sorry for them. You don't have to like every aspect of your job, right? You know, the people in the control booth are all green with this survey. It's kind of
I can't stand the world. I heard
I think that just depends on whether you and I are in the office or not, whether they enjoy work or not.
How many enjoy life?
I don't know.
I mean, part of it is I heard interviewed on a radio program the last couple weeks, the guy who hosted the Dirty Jobs.
Yeah.
He was a fascinating interview.
Yeah.
He's got a book out now of some sort. He was really interesting because it was, here's these dirty jobs, and he learned a lot doing it because it's these people, they have great satisfaction in their work.
Yeah, he was an opera singer.
Well, I didn't know about that.
So here's the 30... if you're over age 34, 80% of the workforce doesn't like their job. Terrible. Well, terrible.
Learn how to like your job if you don't like your job.
But like our website, go to moneymatters.com, shameless plug, moneymatters.com.
And at there you can find, you should be liking the time you spend at
moneymatters.com. And you can actually get a discount on Scott's book there.
Yeah, moneymatters.com/book. Get a discount. The music means we're out of time. We're here every weekend on the same program, the same time, or you can get a podcast. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call.
That's right.
888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.